Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7. We're going to read the same verses pretty much that we read last week. And the title of our thoughts and the title of our message this morning would simply be saved. Saved. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Skip down and we'll pick up verse 10, which we didn't read last week, but is part of this chain. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Verse 14 and 15. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned? Then we would move over to verse number 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, which was about 6 months or so just before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, is brought before us in John chapter 7. The Feast of Booths was a Thanksgiving celebration, praising God for his deliverance of the people through the wilderness, praising and reminding themselves of how God provided the water for them to drink all through that journey, and that rock that gushed forth that water from place to place as they journeyed. They gave thanks for God's guidance, the light that he provided at night, the cloud that led them by day. And we find in Scripture, as we pointed out last week, there are many references to the Feast of Tabernacles in Scripture. And Jesus Christ observed the ones that he was required to observe by going to Jerusalem, the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, or weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. I think the actual truth is every feast and every requirement that we find in the Word of God, Jesus Christ fulfilled. And Jesus Christ did. And Jesus Christ, in the last day of that great day of the feast, rather it was the seventh day when there seems to have been an additional proceeding around the altar, or the Sabbath day at the end of it. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried. Cried means he spoke loudly, he spoke clearly. He cried out unto the people, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus Christ, in essence, is crying out at the end of the feast of Passover, and he is crying out declaring, "This is me. This is about me. I was that rock that God provided. I was that water that God gave you all through the wilderness travels. I was that light that led you by night, and that cloud that led you by day. This speaks of me." And he cried out unto them, if you thirst, come unto me and drink. If you thirst, come unto me and drink. First thought that I would put before you this morning is the simple one of be saved. If you're here and you're lost, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, once again you're hearing about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Once again you're hearing the wages of sin is death. Once again you're hearing, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. Well, once again you're hearing the call, be saved. I cry out to you, my friend. I'm crying out to each one that is here who's heard it before. I'm saying, be saved. Why not today? Why not now? Why not be saved? I don't apologize, nor do I think God's people should apologize for the Lord's use of the word any. I believe he used this word properly, and he used it meaning what it meant. I don't apologize for saying anyone here today, anyone who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. I don't apologize for saying to you, my friend, as Christ did in his standing up before the people saying, "Come unto me if you're thirsty." I don't apologize or hesitate a second to say to you, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Amen. There's no problem with Scripture. There's no problem with contradiction by saying whosoever will may come. Whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. There's no problem with hearing Jesus Christ say, if any man being used, any person, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, if anybody will come unto the Lord and take of him, believe on him, receive him, will be saved. Be saved, oh, this morning is our cry out to you. If any man thirst, and Jesus Christ has already taught us, if any man thirst, it is because that thirst has been given to them of God. They have been taught of God. The only way a person can thirst and long to be saved and cry out to the Lord to save them is if God is drawing them. Again, no contradiction. A plain truth that we have seen repeated throughout these first seven chapters of John. If any man thirst, he only can thirst if God is drawing him. If you're here and you thirst and you hunger and you desire to be saved, God is giving you that. It's not of your own self. It's not of your own nature. There is a people that have been given unto the Lord, and all that have been given unto the Lord, they shall come. And Jesus said, but they cannot come unless the Father draw them. But he doesn't change the fact that they're going to come. God is going to draw them. If any man thirst, they can only thirst if God is drawing them. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him who is athirst come unto me." The only one who can save the lost sinner is Jesus. Amen. You have to come to him. You don't come to a preacher. You don't come to a church. You don't come to an ordinance. You don't come to a commandment. If God is working upon you and bringing you a thirst and a hunger in your soul to be saved, you come unto Jesus. You'll come only because God is drawing you and God is working that upon you. And if you come, it's going to be unto Jesus. No one else. No one else this morning. And then he says in that passage of Scripture, if any man thirst, he only can thirst if God is drawing. Let him come unto me. You can only come unto Christ in order to be saved. Let him drink. We eat and we drink of Christ by faith. By faith. So I say to you, as Jesus says here, as he stood up and he cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I stand before you, certainly no way close to anything equal to Christ, but as a preacher, as a prophet of the Lord, I stand before you and I say to you, be saved. Be saved. And if the Lord gives you a hunger and a thirst to be saved, and you feel that burning and that desire, if you'll come unto Jesus and you'll take of him by faith, you'll be saved. It's just that simple. We don't have to frustrate it or feel obligated to overly explain it. Now, another thing I want to ask, and this is a question in the form of a question, are you saved? Are you saved? Be saved. If you're here and you're lost, your greatest need is to be saved. And we call you to be saved. We call you to hunger and to thirst. And we pray that God would cause you to hunger and thirst after Christ, to come to Christ, to receive Christ by faith and to be saved. But in this passage of Scripture, you also find the question answered, are you saved? I won't ask you to raise your hand. You know who you are. We would begin by saying anybody who's a member of this church at some time or another has professed to be saved. There are many who come to churches and in and out the doors of a church that do not publicly declare they're saved, but will privately and quietly and in their own way make it known, I'm okay, I believe, I'm saved. Well, are you saved? Are you saved? In verse number 38 and verse number 39, Jesus says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, as he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and to drink. If God has given anybody a thirst and a desire to come, let him come unto me, for I am the only one who can save. Take of me by faith, and you'll be saved. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ quotes here from the Old Testament. He quotes here from himself, he being the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus said, according to Scripture, those that are saved, those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to be filled with His Spirit. They're going to flow forth from the Spirit within them. A person who is saved has the living water within them. And I want to ask you another question. Those of you who say you are saved, are you experiencing this? Have you ever experienced this? When was the last time you experienced this? Anybody who sees themselves a sinner believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith partakes of him, is saved. And those that are saved, the scriptures say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. That's not talking about Jesus. That's talking about the believer. Do you have that? According to scripture, when a person is saved, Jesus Christ satisfies them. Are you satisfied, my Christian friend? Jesus Christ satisfies them. Jesus Christ fills them. And Jesus Christ flows from within them. This he spoke of following his resurrection and following his return to glory after the coming of the Spirit would be realized. Jesus satisfies, Jesus fills, and Jesus flows from within. Are you and I, those of us who say we're saved, are we satisfied with Jesus? Amen. Do we have that deep, settled peace? Do we have that deep feeling of satisfaction? Or do we feel empty? Or do we feel hollow? Or is there something missing? A saying that has stuck with me here of late is this thought: if you're not happy where you are, now think about this and write it down and meditate up on it when you have time. If you're not happy where you are, guess what? You won't be happy somewhere else. If you're not happy where you are, you're not going to be happy somewhere else. Because we're talking about a happiness, we're talking about a satisfaction that comes to every true believer, that we should examine ourselves and make sure we still have it within our lives. It's not about a place, it's not about a time, it's not about a situation, but it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ that makes one happy. And they're happy no matter where they are, because when Jesus comes into the heart of the believer, he satisfies them. He fills them. He flows forth from them to other people. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? Are you saved? Are you giving evidence of your salvation? This is serious. God isn't happy with us just identifying. He wants us to give evidence, proof positive, that we're saved. That we're saved. We need to experience the satisfaction that comes from Christ, the filling that comes from Christ, and the flowing to others that comes from Christ. All around us, folks, all around us, there are people who are dying of thirst. In your family, in your place of work, your neighborhood, all around you, there are people who are dying of thirst. And here you are, and here I am, and we claim to be saved, and we claim to have the living water within us, and we claim that we've experienced the satisfaction that comes only to those who know Jesus Christ. Well, what should we be doing? We should be flowing from within ourselves to those that are dying of thirst, seeking their salvation, seeking to lead them to Christ, seeking to show before them by our example the benefits of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are others all around us dying of thirst. Folks, there are all around us brothers and sisters in Christ who are thirsty. And we're to be satisfied with Christ, we're to be filled with Christ, we're to flow forth from Christ. All talking about the work of the Spirit, of course, as is pointed out in verse number 39. All around us there are lost people dying of thirst. We need to flow to them. But our brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes are thirsty. Amen. Sometimes are in spiritual need. And we should flow from them, from ourselves, excuse me, to them. Seek to be a blessing. within the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Lord puts his people, gives that special blessing to, within the church there are those who need Christ to flow from someone to them, to help them, to encourage them. So I ask the question, are you saved? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Do you feel satisfaction with Christ? Do you know Christ is within you? Has the Spirit of Christ filled you? And is that Spirit flowing from you and being a blessing to those that are lost, being a blessing to others, being a blessing even to those who we share membership in one of the Lord's churches with? He's the living water. He's the Holy Spirit that is being spoken of in this passage of Scripture. Now I'm going to ask a difficult question. Are you backslidden? Got quiet. Are you backslidden? Go with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Jeremiah, chapter 2. Verse 17 through 19, you find God encouraging Jeremiah, strengthening Jeremiah. This is the place where you find God saying to Jeremiah, now Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their faces. Verse number 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. See, it's a scary thing to stand up in front of a church. It's a scary thing to stand up in front of a group of people like I'm standing up tonight or this morning in front of you and ask you, are you backslidden? If looks could kill, preacher may have already hit the ground. Jesus says through, of course, God, to the prophet Jeremiah, don't be dismayed at their faces. Speak to my people. And Jeremiah had a lot to face. He had a lot to speak to the people. And he had a lot of threatenings and danger thrown his way. After the Lord tells him to speak unto my people and not to be afraid of their faces, by the grace of God, we seek to do that this morning. He says in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, now listen to the word of God and listen to what God is saying to Jeremiah and what God is saying to Jeremiah to say to the people of Israel. What God is speaking and laying upon my heart to say to you this morning, are you backslidden? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and his first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Jeremiah, don't be afraid to go and stand before my people and lay the case, lay the charges. Show them what I have against them. And God was to stand before, or Jeremiah was to stand before the people and say, okay, everybody, pay attention. God spoke to me, and told me to say unto you, apply this to yourself now. The prophet, I standing in his place. The Lord said to Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. God is saying to Israel, I remember thee. Is God saying that to you this morning? I remember you. Paraphrasing, I remember when you were first saved. I remember your espousals. I remember your days of youth. I remember your love for me. I remember how you followed me. I remember how at the beginning you were so joyful and so willing. Does God say to you tonight or this morning, whatever time of day it is, get the message? Are you backslidden? Jeremiah is called to speak to the people of Israel, and they were greatly backslidden. You don't have to find the term backslide or backslidden in the Bible to find the teaching. The teaching is there. It's obviously there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and 2 here, throughout the entire book of Jeremiah. Verse number 3, God tells Jeremiah, you say to them, and don't be afraid of their faces, you say to them boldly, don't let their threatenings dissuade you. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not. I remember when Israel was holiness unto me. Holiness. Does God speak to you? Does God speak to me? Does God speak to us individually? Does God speak to us as a church and say to us, I remember you, how much you loved me and how much you were burning to serve me. I remember your holiness. Is your holiness a thing that has gone to the past? See, God remembers you when you first started. As a prophet of the Lord, as a preacher of the Lord, going back 25 years now, I have in recent days often envisioned you in my mind and gone through the congregation. And oh, it's amazing to me how many are here this morning? They weren't here 25 years ago. Many have died, but we're talking about 25 years. Many have been added since that first day. I can go through each pew, say, they were there. She was there. He was there. I almost thought about having everybody stand up. Who is 25 years and younger? Have you stand up? If you're 25 years and younger, you weren't here when I first came. Then I thought about having everybody stand up who was here at the very beginning when I came here. Or having those stand who have joined the church, come back to the church in the last 25 years that weren't here at the beginning. whatever I was to do in that regards, like the prophet Jeremiah speaking for the Lord, I can say, I remember you all. I remember all you've been through. I remember all you've gone through. I remember the valleys. I remember the difficulties. And in some cases, I can remember how on fire some people used to be and how now they barely have time for the Lord, barely have time for the things of the Lord. Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. You go over and speak unto the people of Israel, to Jerusalem. You speak unto them that I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of your espousals. I remember when you went after me in the wilderness. I remember when you were holiness unto me. Whew. Does God say that about you and I? When he thinks about us, I remember when you were holy? As though it's a thing gone by? Are you backsliding? Are you a backslider? This is such a wonderful prophecy, prophet, words of the prophet. Verse 9 through 12, God asked the question, would be through the prophet Jeremiah, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? What a question for God to ask. What a question for God to ask, Faith Baptist Church. Have you changed gods on me? God said, the Lord said to the Ephesian church, yeah, you look pretty good on paper. You look pretty good on paper, but I look at the heart and I have somewhat against you. Amen. The Lord speaking to the Ephesian church, what I have against you is you've left your first love. Amen. Something's changed. Something's changed. What is the answer if the Lord asks us as a church, have we changed gods? Or organized in 1963? Have we lost God? Have we lost the Lord? Have we changed gods? I feel like if I could wish anything for our country, if there's anything God would give me the ability to wish, and he would grant it, I would say, oh God, give us a Jeremiah. Give us another Jeremiah to go and without fear speak to this people, the United States of America. Give us a Jeremiah that could go and without fear speak to these people of the United States of America and ask them, has a nation changed gods? The United States has changed gods. Amen. We don't believe in, we're not serving, we're not following the same God that we started with 250 years ago. I don't care what you want to say politically. Our nation has forsaken God. Our nation has come up with their replacement gods. In the name of politics, we don't want to face the problem, but we need to face the problem. Our country has forsaken God. Hath a nation changed their gods? We've changed our gods. It could probably be said we've changed our gods like changing shoes. We've done it many times. What is tolerated? What is acceptable? I think it's put best when the scriptures talk about things being turned upside down. We're saying in the United States of America that things that were once bad are now all of a sudden good and okay. We're saying those things that God tells us in His Word are wrong, we're saying they're okay. We've changed gods. We've changed gods. But I want you to go down to verse 13, and I just got to run through this best part of the message, I think. Verse 13, for my people, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to his people, my people have committed two evils. Here's a ready-made sermon, ready-made outline. God is speaking, my people have committed two great sins. They have forsaken me. And they have hewn out new or other cisterns. So here's where the connection comes to John chapter 7 and Jeremiah and the other places where we find the Feast of Tabernacles represented. God sent Jeremiah to speak to his people. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. That's Christ. That's the living water of our text in John 7. Israel had forsaken God for another God. They had forsaken the fountain of His living water. So not only had they forsaken the fountain of His fresh, life-giving, satisfying water. But He has hewn out, they have hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Two great sins. Two great sins. They have forsaken me, which was the living water, and they've come up with their own sources of water. Cisterns were places dug out in the earth or found in voids of the earth. And many times they would be lined with some kind of a clay. Cracks would be filled with some kind of a clay. And these cisterns would catch rainwater. They would catch runoff. They would catch all manner of corrupt, vile things. Dirt and everything that was on the face of this earth would be rushed into one of these cisterns. And these cisterns were also known for stagnating. Water would set within them and would be more harmful than good to be drank. So they would catch runoff, which is no quality of water at all. They would catch the runoff. They would be prone to becoming stagnated, worthless sources of water. And here God says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have hewn them out cisterns that catch all of this vile, dirty, undrinkable water, the stagnated water that would be contained within them. And not only do they have all these water issues, but he says they're broken cisterns. They won't hold water. They're corrupt, they're vile. They're probably more poisonous than they are good as that water stagnated within them. But these are cisterns that aren't even worth holding corrupt water. They're cisterns that are broken. But that's what God held against these people. They had rejected Him, the source of the only living water that there was, and hewn them out replacement cisterns. It is believed that Jeremiah himself was cast into a cistern and held there in captivity. It is believed that Joseph was thrown into a cistern type of a pit when they were going to sell him into slavery. Cisterns. Have you replaced God with other gods? Have you declared you've drunk of the living water of Jesus Christ? You've been satisfied and you've been filled. And for a while you poured out, but something has happened and you've replaced God. You've replaced the fountain of living water for not only a cistern, a corrupt cistern, but a broken cistern. The fourth question I wanted to ask, and I'll close with, was just that. Have you forsaken God? Have you forsaken God? Scary stuff. That's why God said, Jeremiah, don't be afraid. Stand and deliver. I'll protect you. Sometimes preachers just got to name it and claim it. Take the promises of God and you got to stand up and deliver, trusting God to protect. I say to you, my friend, and you know who you are, be saved. Can you see yourself a sinner? Is God showing yourself a sinner? Has he given you a hunger and a thirst for the first time that is real, genuine, and sincere? Has he given you a hunger and a thirst to be saved? Then hear Jesus Christ say, come to me. If he's given you that hunger and that thirst, it can only be of God if it's genuine. Come unto me. By faith, take of me. Be saved. How often have you heard that and gone away unchanged? Don't go away unchanged this morning. Be saved. That's the words of Jesus Christ, I believe, himself. Are you saved? Okay, you stand, you sit here today, and you've made a profession of faith. You've been baptized. Everybody's seen you baptized. And if you're a member of this church, you've been baptized. That's no exclusion. I've asked you, are you saved? Can you say, yes, I'm saved, and know it because, and know it because he has satisfied you, he has filled you, and he's flowing from you? Are you backslidden? When God looks upon you and he looks upon me, what does he say? Does he see us how we used to be? Does he see us on fire? Or does he see that we fizzled out? Are you backslidden? Have you, have I, have we as a church, have we forsaken the Lord? Let me just say this and I'm done. The greatest fear that's present in this room right now, it isn't the fear of a preacher afraid to tell you what God has said. The greatest fear that is present right now here among us here at Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio, the greatest fear is the fear that you have to take a good, honest look in the mirror and ask yourself, how do these apply to me? Many will not do that. They're scared to do that. They just can't wait till that preacher gets done. They just can't wait till that preacher shuts up. They don't want him to keep firing because they're liable to get hit. So the problem isn't with preachers being afraid. The problem is with us as Christians being afraid to look at ourselves and really answer that question, are we backslidden? Have we replaced God? Oh, there's so many applications. So many people, the Jews, threw Jesus to the curb. And they came up with their own salvation, their own Savior, their own cisterns that were broken and corrupt. Let's stand together. Sing a verse.